FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop.
Transformers!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 300. Wow, 300. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Peter Chavez.
Hello.
Anna Pope. And I think your mic's still muted.
Oh, no, I was just waiting to be quiet this time. I did remember to unmute it this week. Hello.
Everybody always forgets. And Claire Peterson, welcome.
Hello.
Tonight we've got a very, very special episode. I've actually been wanting to do this episode for quite some time. My girlfriend actually suggested it like long, long time ago. And I'm like, well, you know, I want to do that. That's a really good topic. But I want to save it for something special. And I'm like, 300th episode coming up. I'm like, you know, I could go for some special guests. I could go for, you know, I even thought about maybe going back and seeing if I could get the original cast back together and for one night only, but I'm like, you know what? No, let's do something fresh and new, and let's talk about the lady collectors within the Transformers hobby. You know, what better way to celebrate it than that? A lot of people may not even think about it. And quite honestly, I didn't really consider it, you know, whenever I first started going to conventions back in the early 2000s and going online. You know, you see everybody by a screen name. You don't know if they're male or female unless it's overtly so. And even then, it's, you know, it's like Headmaster Don. He loves RC, but he's a dude, you know. but you really don't consider the fact that there are female Transformer fans out there for a line that is, quite honestly, targeted at the male audience. But that doesn't mean that it can't be for girls. It can't, you know, that it doesn't appeal to girls, because obviously we have some big fans here. Hopefully this is like a microcosm of the entire fandom as a whole, because I think we've got some good representation here. And, you know, I know several other fans. Two original cast members of TFYLP were female fans. So it's out there, whether or not you realize it or not. But whenever I first went to my very first convention, and I'll be honest, I thought it was going to be a total sausage fest, you know, dudes everywhere. and it wasn't. You know, it was pleasantly... There were lots of female fans there. And I think back in the day, you know, even though I didn't collect, I was a huge She-Ra fan, you know, which is a franchise that is targeted toward females. But because she was He-Man's sister, I went in full bore with it. You know, I love the show. So it can go both ways. And we're going to explore this topic a lot today, and hopefully you guys will enjoy this show, and we'll bring out some things that you maybe had not considered. We'll hear some stories, and it's just going to be all around fun fun episode. But before we get to the main topic, let's kind of do a little roundtable here, kind of find out what we've been doing this week. If you got anything, we can talk about that this past week. So I'll start off with Claire, since you're the guest today. How have you been doing? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then after that, if you got anything this week, mention that. I know you got one big thing.
Yeah, that's like my pride and joy now. Gosh, where do I begin? Collecting for like almost 19 years now. Little obsessive.
Nothing wrong with that. I think we all are.
Yeah. used to go to BotCon quite a bit. And probably the biggest thing I got this week was I finally took my 2000 Jeep Wrangler and got it customized to look like Hound.
Oh, oh man. You just showed some like sneak peek pictures on Facebook, and I'm like, show us more. Show us the whole thing. More than just the hood.
I know. It's got like the yellow triangle on the doors and then the gold striping that goes along each side. And I've got the custom tire cover and the custom license plate.
Man, that's just awesome. Really awesome.
It's been a work in progress for a little too long.
Just a little obsessive, you say?
Just a wee bit.
But you know, any listeners or viewers who were, how big a fan is she? Well, that tells you right there, her car, or her Jeep is Hound.
And I also have Bumblebee, so that kind of...
Movie Bumblebee or G1 Bumblebee?
Movie Bumblebee. Oh.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest, I'd like to have a Movie Bee too, you know. There's a fellow collector in the area, he used to have a Bumblebee Camaro, had the Autobot insignias on it and everything, but he sold it a few years back. But
gotcha.
Just to be able to sit in one, I'm like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It doesn't get driven that much, but it's a nice piece to have.
Yes, yes. So, you get any toys this week or anything you...
I actually just got the reissue Hot Rod in the mail.
Ooh.
From a good friend.
Was it destroyed?
It was not. I heard a lot of them were getting destroyed in the mail.
Yeah, I found out because I thought they were actually going to start showing up in brick and mortar Walmart, but no, they're supposed to be an online only. And I'm like, the way they're treating the shipments, I don't want to spend that kind of money and it get here like flattened.
It's a bit of a crapshoot. Some of them are getting shipped in boxes. Some of them are getting shipped in non-padded mailers. So they are in brick and mortar stores at Walmart in Canada. So if you have friends in, the Great White North up there, you can ask someone up there. They can help you out.
That may be the best recourse for me because, honestly, I mean, I've got a loose hot rod in my case. You know, I don't need one to actually transform and display. I want one sealed because of that retro package. The only thing bothers me is he's transverse in the package rather than, you know. But just that retro packaging is enough for me.
I've seen cases where some are actually getting flipped now, so I don't know if it's going to be a running change where they're going to be corrected in the box or not. But yeah, there are some out
variation.
There.
That
are,
yeah, it would make sense because it actually doesn't show off much of the toy when it's backwards. It's like you can see his weapon in the back of his spoiler, and that's about it.
And his instruction booklet, because that's what you want to see in the window box.
Yeah.
Can you just flip it though? Like, if you're willing to open it, can you just flip it around and put it back in?
You can, but the rub there is you have to be willing to open it, and then you don't have a sealed piece, and then you have to buy another one, but then you have to flip that one too, so then you have to hope that there's a running change, and then, oh my god. Yeah. It gets
I like
rough.
The phrase, you have to buy another one. Like, you have to.
You do. You have to have one sealed.
I was in that pitfall years ago. Buy one loose, or buy one to open and mess with, and the other one to keep nice and pristine in the package, because... I think we've even talked about it here on the show. We've had an entire episode dedicated to Transformers packaging. How part of the allure of Transformers is that not only do you have a cool toy, it comes in a nice, appealing package that has like beautiful box art. You know, they used to have really cool bios, you know, and everything on them. And you know, it's just especially in Generation One when you had that huge mural back and everything, that battle scene that I literally, as a kid, I could sit and stare at each one of them for hours and just imagine I was watching the battle live, you know. And then that box art, which sometimes was derpy, but most of the time it portrayed the character rather cool, you know.
It was beautifully derpy, if anything.
Yes. I mean, like Battletrap, the toy is a little lackluster, but that box art was pretty fly, you know. The packaging does a lot for Transformers, and for a lot of people don't get mint and sold box collectors, and just one, the appeal of having a toy that you know that that human hands have not touched since the factory, and it's pristine, or it should be, unless it's like broken or missing something in the packaging, you don't know it, and then just the overall beauty of the package, just to have a... For me to have a sealed G1 would be like one of my grails. I mean, I've got a Mint and Box Fangry up here. You know, everything's intact. I can enjoy him in the box, but he's been opened. The bubble's been reattached. Matter of fact, it might even be a Repro bubble. But it just appeals to me. One of the main reasons I stopped doing it is because I just didn't have the room. Because, as Peter can attest, you know, bin life takes up a lot of space.
Bin life is both wonderful and terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, I second that one.
Most of my G1 collection, I have doubles of almost everything, you know, in box, not necessarily sealed, but many of them are, and then loose examples of everything. And yeah, it's very space intense.
Yeah, I've actually got Morgan Collier, I Am Ratchet. I have him actively searching for a sealed American boxed G1 Weird Wolf. And I told him, I said, if you find one, I don't care if I have to make payments on it, I want it. I want it. I said, I don't need it to be AFA. If I do that, I'll do it myself. But I just want that pristine US G1 Weird Wolf. I honestly doubt there's any out there. As many
there are some out there.
As many there years as I have been looking, I'll never forget. It was like, I want to say it was the first BotCon I went to. I was walking around the dealer room and I saw a dealer had a boxed Weird Wolf up on the shelf. It looked like it was sealed. And I quick asked. I said, "Is that thing sealed?" And he had like $200 on it, on the price. I mean, I'd reached in my wallet. I had the cash in hand. You know, as I said, is that thing sealed? He sat there and he goes, I don't know. You know, he got it down and I turned it over and the box was, the flap was opened on one side. I'm like, you know, not good enough. And he goes, but it's still mint. I'm like, I have one. I want the sealed one. But Claire, do you have anything else that you wanted to?
I can't really think of much.
All right, how about you, Anna?
Well, I guess I've had a bad couple of weeks that I've bought more things than I probably should have, or gotten more things than I probably should have. So I still haven't. I've had this for a couple of weeks now, but I haven't chosen to share it just yet. But I did go ahead and invest in a Feral Rex, so. He's the only representative right now that I'm going to share because, you know, taking all five would take a minute. Plus, I haven't actually messed with all five of them yet. I tend to mess with new figures very slowly, one by one, and try to, you know, spend a little time with them. But more importantly, I did go ahead and finally purchase a Coot.
Ooh.
And
that is a solid figure.
It is really cool. As a Target Master collector, I am not overly impressed with this guy, the Target Master that comes with him. He's okay. He feels like a little bit of an afterthought. I just have to criticize him because, you know, I really like Target Masters. He makes a really cool gun, though. and Cup can actually hold it, which is noteworthy in a lot of ways for a lot of these figures, that he can hold it without his arm going all the way down. But I do want to note that what I really wanted to do was try to share new figures I got that were of female characters from the fandom. And, you know, I did get my Nova Star in the mail this week, and I just don't even feel like getting her out to display because, I mean, I'm just not excited about her. And I'm sure I'll probably rant about that for a while later.
She awesome. I like her. I don't care for the sides of the legs. I wish they had a way to maybe tuck that away. But I dig it, especially the colors. I mean, it's
the colors are good. The colors are good. I just that face sculpt
is pretty good too.
I like Windracer's face sculpt better, but you know.
You know what I'd like to see for Firestar? I don't know if I talked about this last week for add-on kits or something. We might have talked after about
the flame hair.
I'd like just the flame hair, exactly. Just a little clip-on, translucent orange hairpiece to make her look like she does in More Than Meets the Eye. I think that would be great.
Yeah, you mentioned that, and that would be super cool.
Yeah.
I even dig the vehicle mode. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I obviously just Moonracer, recolored, but with a new head. But I dig the sleek vehicle mode that she turns into. I really lament the fact that Chromia for the next line is going to be gutted of her combiner gimmick, because that would suck. That'll suck.
I'm holding out hope.
I'm holding out hoping that taking out the combiner mechanic will somehow make her better. Like, she'll somehow be unique when we actually see her in hand. Maybe she'll be, like, less boxy. Maybe the backpack will go inside or something. Maybe we'll be shocked and be happy the combiner mechanic's gone. Like, I'm just crossing my fingers that something like that'll happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that the only reason I want her to have the combiner gimmick is because we got the Alita one that is a torso. We got Firestar now. We have Chromia. Moonracer. If you had the Chromia and then one more female character that is that has a combiner port, you have another all girl combiner that is not
Victorian.
Yeah, a brain fart. Which, you know, I liked it at first, but the color scheme was just it was just all red. It's like all red and very, and these, I'm used to my combiners being more, you know, patchworky.
You can always get the Megatronia version.
Yeah, I thought about that. I mean, I did get the Grand Galvatron. Well, I had, you know, going back to what we was talking about beforehand, it's in my pile, but Grand Galvatron, I have that, and that's the only reason I didn't order the, Megatronia, is because I'm like, well, if I'm going to get one of those sets, I'm going to go for the Grand Galvatron because it's more standalone characters that I can display apart rather than combined. But, you know, crazy thoughts. But your overall thoughts on the Furorix Tantrum?
I actually like him quite a bit. The only other one I've opened is this feller, and I like him significantly less because, well, I mean, he's just not as fun and cool as the Tantrum is, or what is his name in Ferrorax? I had it Bovis, isn't it? I think it's Bovis, which for me is a funny name, so I like it. But yeah, I like it quite a bit. I got it used, so I have looked at the whole set. I have played with it a little bit in combined mode, so I really do like it. But I kind of have this feeling I'm going to end up keeping these guys in my robot modes and eventually getting the Power of the Primes one, because I kind of like my combiners to move a little bit more. And he's just he's got little arms. So
I'm pleasantly surprised with the Power of the Primes one. I was not going to, I was going to get it, but I wasn't really. It's like more of an out of feel of necessity over actually wanting it. But once I had it in hand, I'm like, this guy's pretty good. I like him. Rampage is probably the weakest one of the bunch, in my opinion. He suffers. He's got some issues that just, he looks really derpy in beast mode, and I don't know. He just doesn't work for me, but all the rest of them I love. And then combined mode, he looks like he's ripped right straight out of the cartoon to me.
I honestly wasn't even considering it, but then a friend brought me his and was like, check this out. It actually doesn't suck. And I was like, oh no, I'm convinced. And then that same person sold me his Feral Rex. So what can you say about that interaction?
Yeah, that's the best way to get them, you know, especially if they're cheap. Definitely. How about you, Peter?
I've been slacking. I don't know. My birthday's coming up, so I'm trying not to buy too much so that I can give my girlfriend the opportunity to buy all sorts of fun stuff for me. And there are boxes showing up at the house, so I'm hoping there's great stuff in there. I'm confident that there's great stuff in there. Yeah, all I picked up are a couple of, what's that? RID stuff is going on clearance all over the place, so I'm just picking up extras of everything. I got a bunch of the little tiny, whatever they are, the little $3 ones.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. Nothing major.
Yeah, that's, I tell you what, the, well, lost my train of thought. Here, my astral train of thought transformed and flew into space. yeah, the only thing I got, like I said, I showed a few moments ago, I got Nova Star in yesterday. If you follow the TFYLP Facebook group, facebook.com/group/TFYLP, you'll see I got this one shipped in a freaking bubble mailer from Amazon. And... you know, I would like the opportunity, should I decide to keep her sealed, to have the package nice and mint when I get it, you know, because that's what I want whenever I purchase a toy. It come in a nice package, if at all possible. But no, you know, Amazon didn't give me that choice. It's like, you're going to open this toy regardless of whether or not you want to or not. But the mere fact that they packed it in a bubble mailer, it was crushed a little bit. The top of the bubble had been caved in and sliced. Could have very easily scratched her face or even broke the head off, from what I could tell. I mean, it had to be a decent enough impact to do that. But all things being equal, I'm happy with her. She came out of the package undamaged. The package has seen better days, and it's going to go in the bin anyway. Just going to keep the card and chuck that. And then I've got Masterpiece Thrust over here. It's been sitting on a stasis pod shelf at Captured Prey for like 2 years. Had like a quarter inch of dust on the top of it. So finally got that out of its languishing torment on a shelf. Just to go on to another shelf that is made of glass.
Welcome home, Thrust.
Yes. But you can eat leaf. Oh, and lest I forget the most important thing, something that Claire and I and several other people have been waiting on for what, at least a year when we first paid? Yeah.
I think it was like November of last year.
Yeah. When the chat started?
Yeah, yeah. This hideous thing, I mean... It is hideous. That head, I mean, it looks like he's high as you know what. but it's the downtown headmaster that you really had to jump through hoops to get, you know. And I heard about the group buy like at the very last minute. I'm wanting to say it's like the last day that they were doing something or other. And Will Kenny had mentioned something in passing to me. I'm like, why did Orson not mention this? And I'm like, Orson, I'm going to slap you, man. And so, yeah, I'm paid up. And it's here. It's finally here. And I think he's getting ready to ship out the rest to you guys. And
actually, mine's sitting on the shelf. It's going to be staying in my pod for a while.
Oh. So. Okay. But, yeah, I got the DVD. I'm like, I just wanted the DVD just to have it. But I didn't realize it was like... a whole freaking box set, you know, that's all like region 2 DVD, which won't play in a U.S. DVD player, but I may stick it in my computer and try to rip it into a format that I can watch, just to say I've seen it or something, but it may be unwatchable for me. But it's one of those things that I'm like, eh. I want it, you know, if I'm going to have the whole thing, I want the DVD with it, so. Although it's not really pertinent to it. And I'm going to be full disclosure here. I didn't know that the head itself made the sound. I thought the sound was actually in the chest of Fort Max, because I never put batteries in mine. But yeah, the head actually makes sounds. So I may actually put some batteries in this just to listen to it scream at me in Japanese.
Do it.
Yes. And yeah, I will do that. I will do that on air. But I'm going to leave it sealed just for a while, because I want to set my light box up and take a picture of it, since, you know, for archival sake and everything. PS4 is a region-free player. I did not know that.
I don't think I knew that either.
Yeah, Zaldron on the live chat says PS4 is a region-free player. Okay, I'm going to try that. Thank you. Everything. But before we go into our main topic, I want to acknowledge and say hi to everybody that's in our live chat on our YouTube channel right now. Thank you all for joining us today. Hope you guys enjoy the show. And as always, check out our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more on orders of $150 or more with free domestic shipping. And you also have the benefit of Stasis Pod now, which you can order and buy now and ship later. CapturePrey.com. Also check out Ripped Apparel. If you find cool t-shirts on Ripped Apparel, or posters or coasters or whatever floats your boat there, use the promo code TFYLPPOD, all capital letters, on your checkout in the promo code there, and it will save you 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. And as always, if you love what we do here on TFYLP and love to see us keep going, it's not free for us to do this. It's a lot of money out of pocket for me each and every year, especially if I try to get upgrades for like microphones. I'm in the process of building basically a super PC in order to increase the quality, overall quality of the show. And without the Patreon, that would not be possible. I just simply couldn't afford it on my own. I mean, you know, with the hobby itself as being expensive, and then I would have to give up something in order to do that. So, you know, I don't want to give up the hobby. I don't want to give up family. And I certainly want to eat. So, so it's thanks to you fans that we have reached our 300th milestone here at TFYLP. And, it's also thanks to you fans that we continue each and every month and week here on TFYLP. So check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. And I thank you to everybody who continues to support us each and every week and month. I can't thank you enough. Just the mere fact we're here. 300, guys. I mean, 8 years ago in October, two guys sat down behind a microphone and, will anybody ever listen to this shit? And here we are. Here we are. So, without further ado, let's move on to our main topic of discussion tonight. The ladies of the hobby in Transformers. Anna, I'm going to let you kind of kick things off. I know you had some questions that you asked some of your fellow peers that are pertinent to this topic, and you've had a lot of thought on this, as have we all, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk first.
Sure. I'll just start, and I'll explain what I did do, just so no one thinks that I did this, like, elegant data collection or anything. I mean, literally what I did is I posted on a few places in Facebook and asked other women collectors to contact me so I could ask them two questions. And just so I could aggregate what I was going to say and not just give my opinion. Now, I didn't talk to Claire, so her opinion will be fresh as well. And so that gives us, like, you know, a total of 7 people's opinion instead of 2, which is, like, slightly better. Not really from a, like, data perspective, but, you know, at least it's slightly better. Forgive me, I'm a social scientist, so I'm going to compare this to the work I do otherwise and be like, this isn't good enough. But anywho, so the main things I was curious about, I guess, like, the first question I ask everybody was how they felt about being out, about being a collector, because I've honestly gotten personally, and I'd love for Claire to share her experiences with this as well, but I've honestly gotten some pushback from friends, family members, former significant others on my hobby, as in, you know, it's kind of, it's strange for a woman to collect action figures. It's a boy's toys hobby or something like that, you know, all those sorts of things. So that's honestly the first thing I ask people. And I really got different answers than I expected. Like, I think that my experience with getting pushback has been more unique than I thought it was, because most of the people that I talked to were actually sharing that they actually got a lot of support. But then when I kind of looked at it a little more closely, I was noticing that they were saying they got support from other fans, such that, you know, like, you all would never judge me for being a Transformers collector, because that would be really hypocritical.
Because we actually get it, you know, we're part of it with right. you, yeah.
Right, so I was really noticing that a lot of the support people were talking about seems to really come from other people in the fandom, right? Where it's like, ooh, I think it's cool that you do this. I'm totally on board with it. Please buy more things so I can justify my own hobby. I mean, that's not what they say literally, but that's what they think in their heads. So I guess, thoughts? Anyone else?
I'll let Claire go.
Oh, sure. Yeah, like, I can definitely speak to the whole trying to find, like, support. Because when I first got into this, it was like, oh, I really don't want to tell anyone because people are going to think I'm weird.
The dirty little secret.
I know. It's like, oh, I can't say a word. And, like, when I first started getting into it, me and my dad would go to this local toy store and kind of buy all the G1 figures that kind of started the collection. And as I started going to BotCon, that's where I kind of noticed, okay, there's other people like me. There's other girls like me. And as time went on, I was like, I started feeling really comfortable with what I was doing. And then when I met my husband, he was like, oh, you know, you can't give up collecting just for me. You know, keep going. Keep doing what
you
do.
Is he a fan at all?
He's not a fan, but he collects pinball machines, so oh. He's kind of on the same wavelength of the collecting gene, but his stuff is way more expensive than mine.
He may buy a couple things a year, and you're like, a couple things a month.
yeah, he buys like one pinball here and there, and I'm like, every week. And he's gotten to the point where he can go into a store now and see what I don't have. And then he's like sending me photos. Do you have this? Do you have this? Oh, I'll buy it for you. I'll pick it up. I'll grab it for you. So he's kind of gotten brainwashed.
That's super cool. I'm jealous.
But I definitely did not have a lot of support growing up, because I kind of got into it like freshman year of high school, where everybody's like, oh, if you're not a football player or a cheerleader, you don't do, you know, the normal stuff, you're kind of an outsider. So that was kind of tough on my end.
Plus, you know, even at that age, you know, it was, a lot of people's like, why are you still playing with toys? Why are you going to, you know, what appeals to you about toys? You know, it's like, as a guy at that age, I was, you know, more, whenever I turned 16 and I started putting my toys away, I started looking at it, you know, like, you know, I was growing up, my thought processes were like, I still like the toys, they're still cool, I still care about them, so that's why I wrapped them up in a little newspaper, each and every one, packed them away. But I, you know, peer pressure, I was falling under that, you know, I was like, I wanted a girlfriend, and I didn't think I'd get one, you know, liking toys. Now I look back on it, and I'm like, I should have never left the toys, you know, because the toys have always been faithful to me, to be honest. But, you know, it's that mindset, you know. I just, and I keep saying, you know. But it's that mindset. You want to put the toys away, but you don't, and you want to do what everybody else is doing. But as an adult, a lot of us come back to it, like I did. You know, I came back after I had already went off to college. I got out of college. I met someone, and we got married. And I'd been married for maybe a year or two whenever I rediscovered my collection. Well, no, actually, it's probably less than a year because it was 99. We got married in February 99, so yeah. So, and it was like later that year that I rediscovered my collection. And just going back into it felt more natural to me. You know, I mean, I saw them, and my first thought was, I'm going to sell all these, and then I fell back into the hype that got me onto it to begin with, dragged me right back in. And in turn, it dragged my wife into it. She remembered the cartoon. She loved the cartoon as a kid. She said she even had a Bumblebee as a kid, which, you know, she didn't have very many toys, but she had a Bumblebee. And then, you know, she started learning more characters and everything. But unfortunately, that didn't work out. Now my girlfriend, she's got an entire shelf down here dedicated to stuff that she has. You know, she at the last BotCon, while I was working the table at Captured Prey, I am so proud of her. She walked around the dealer room by herself and by herself bought a Minty complete G1 Weird Wolf of her own, and without, you know, without consulting me, is this one good? Is it missing anything? No, she bought it. It was complete, and you know, I was so proud of her. And then the other day, she said she was in the. I was talking to her on the phone while I was at work, and she was going through the drive-thru at McDonald's, and just randomly, she blurted out, "That guy's checking out my Omega Supreme." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "The dude behind me in the drive-thru line is checking out my Omega Supreme, the little sticker on the back of her car." She's got Autobot insignias and Decepticon insignias and a Omega Supreme and a little battle scene silhouette of Omega Supreme on the back of her car. And I'm like, "I'm so proud you remembered his name." So that's awesome, but I digress.
No, that's really cool though, and I think it's fun for us to admit that honestly I shared your experience when I went, like, I mean, I didn't date a whole lot when I was younger, but when I finally decided it was time I was gonna, you know, start really looking for a partner, I put my collection away. I put it in the basement. I displayed it in the basement, but I didn't take guys I was pretty over to my house to the basement. You know, they didn't get to see that. They just got to see the few things I had upstairs, which were more, you know, gender normative collectibles that weren't as, you know, if you collect like sports memorabilia and I collect dolls, people don't look at that as strange as collecting Transformers. So, you know, I had to slowly kind of break it to my now fiance that, yeah, well, I have a few things in the basement, and by a few things, I mean like hundreds of figures that are worth more than, you know, my car or my house or other things that I own. Maybe not house, that might be a little extreme. I hope that's extreme. Anyway, yeah, so we kind of went through the same thing, and I was finding when I was talking to other people that a lot of them were saying that they really didn't go through that as much as I did, because I think they were less worried about the social desirability. But I definitely find a kind of like connection to that is the idea of how much you want to be out with other fans is usually 100%. And I know I'm borrowing a term here saying being out, but how much you want to be out with friends and coworkers and everything is an entirely different story. It's like, you know, in my office, I have a few things on display. I have my Rock Lords on display, which is definitely something where people can look at it and be like, oh, she's super eccentric. Not so much that she's a toy collector, but maybe she's a little bit odd because she has shiny little Rockmen sitting on her shelf. And I have, you know, maybe two Transformers otherwise. I have like a World's Smallest Starscream and the Iron Factory RC on my shelves in my office. And otherwise, you know, otherwise it looks like an almost normal office for a professor. And I find that, you know, most people I talk to when I talk to other collectors in general, which generally I'm mostly talking to men, tell me that they don't really have their collections on display at work or anything like that. But most of the other women I talked to actually said that, you know, if they wanted to, they do it, basically. If they wanted to talk
I can't to because I'm in a semi, so I can't.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, tape them to the walls of your truck, and that's just...
Yeah. Well, I have what we call slip seating. I may not be in the same vehicle each day, so... But, you know, last night I did have Masterpiece Thrust and this guy sitting in the passenger seat next to me, so, I mean...
I was going to say, you could tape him to your shirt.
I do have a question, though, for both you and Claire. You know, you say coming out, as it were, to like your family and to your friends and your coworkers. Now, I mean, if you have them on display in your office, I mean, it can be readily apparent that you are a fan of some sort. But how did your friends, family, and coworkers, each one, how did they take it whenever you told them? I'd like to hear both you guys your opinions on this. How did people feel? How did you feel? And how did it make you feel? How they reacted?
You want to go first?
I mean, either one of you.
God, my family, my dad was like super into it because he used to take me to the stores and whatnot. My mom was always the one that she supported it. Like 100%, but she never quite understood it. So when I would try and have a conversation with her about, you know, some episode of the original cartoon or a toy, she'd just be like, uh-huh, yeah, that's nice. Friends, I didn't really tell a whole lot of my, like, school friends, except, like, maybe two guys that I was good friends with, and they were kind of like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I, in my bedroom, back at my parents' house, I used to have like an old desk with the glass kind of shelving up top. And so that's where my collection would be when I first started. And they would come over and, you know, open up the doors and be like, oh, this is really cool. And start yanking them out and playing with them. And I think it got easier as I got older to talk to my friends about it. And I have a few things on my desk at work. And when it finally became obvious to my boss and some of my coworkers, they wanted to see like pictures of my collection room and whatnot. And they were just like, holy cow, like you are really weird, but really cool.
You're sitting there showing it off with pride, you know, and they're like, this is okay, unusual.
Yeah.
I ran into that just the other day. We have a new coworker and we were trying to get to know him. He asked me what I'm into. I pulled up my phone and showed him a picture of my collection, and this is the exact look he gave me. Like, you? I'm like, yep, me. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, and now that it's come out, like, with my boss and coworkers, every now and again when I have meetings with people at the state level and groups like that, they always want to know, you know, have you gotten anything new? Like, what does the collection look like now? And they just think it's like the coolest thing ever. Like, they're so fascinated that somebody actually collects these toys.
Yeah, I mean, it's how do you feel? How does it make you feel if? I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you ever come across, I mean, I know I do, and I'm sure Peter has before, even as a guy, you know, people look at you in a negative light. You know, this person collects toys, they have a room full of toys. How does it make you feel whenever a coworker or somebody like that approaches you that way?
Sometimes it makes me feel a little awkward and kind of depressed in a way. Like, oh, maybe I am doing something wrong with my life. But then I just kind of, it's a fleeting feeling.
Because you really realize, if you think about it, everybody has their own likes and dislikes, their own goals, sure. their own priorities in life. You know, one of my coworkers, his priority every week is to go out deer hunting, you know, whenever it's deer season. And whenever it's not deer season, he loves to go fishing. That's what floats his boat. I don't give two shits about either one.
Right.
You know, but that's him. And I don't knock him for it. You know, and it's the same way, in my opinion. How about you, Anna?
So I kind of had a somewhat similar experience growing up, that my mom was really supportive of me having a hobby like this. Like, she always thought it was cool. She's always really liked, you know, yard selling and going to thrift stores and things. So since I was born, you know, early 80s, that gave her a fun thing to do for, you know, the later 80s and the 90s, going to thrift stores and trying to find G1 figures and that sort of thing. And as I got older, she was still totally up for it. And still, you know, I think if I told her the numbers behind some of the things I buy, she'd probably raise an eyebrow. But then again, I think she's pretty supportive. The rest of my family, though, has been very unsupportive about it, and that they kind of see price tags and see it as a kind of, you know, expensive hobby that's unnecessary. And I've gotten a few lectures from time to time about that.
Waste of money. That's my father's exact words. It's a waste of money. Why are you wasting your money on a piece of plastic when you could be saving your money and buying a house or buying a nice car? And I'm like, Dad, they make me happy. You know,
both to try to prove that I did the right thing. It's like, yeah, I have a house. I have a car. I also have little plastic cars that turn into little plastic people. Too bad. But, like, as far as friends growing up, I honestly probably selected my friends with other collectors and nerds because, you know, I was into video games and role-playing and collectible card games. And if someone has a, like, you know, multi-$1,000 Magic the Gathering collection, they're not going to judge your Transformers collection as harshly. They're just going to be like, right, oh, yeah, that's your thing as well. You also have Magic cards.
And as an adult, unless you have an inordinate amount of friends that are from your childhood, most of your adult friends are people that you surround yourself with that are of like mind and have like interests. I'd say a good 3/4 of my friends that I consider my closest friends are also Transformer collectors. Or,
yeah, and it's kind
you know,
of
really
that way for me too. I never really, so where I used to live, I grew up in St. Louis, I never found a group. Like, I never found a Transformers collectors group. I never found a, like, set of people. So I tried to bond with, like, other types of collectors, other types of nerds, and I would always get the message that, you know, maybe I spend thousands of dollars on dolls and things, but your Transformers collection is weird. It was always kind of the feedback I would get. And then when I moved here to KC, I fell in with the local group of collectors here, and it's been fantastic to have people who are, you know, into the same hobby, supportive of it, and it's been horribly enabling, such that, you know, I would not, 2 years ago, I would have never sat down and been like, well, this week I got this and that, and I've replaced this and that. I would have been like, well, in the last 6 months, I've gotten these couple of things. So it's definitely been enabling in a, we'll say, neutral way. But I will say that at work, I'm a lot more nervous about it. Like, I've noticed that with my students, it's because I'm a college professor. So with my students, it's like anything I tell them about how nerdy I am is kind of like funny to them. And it's kind of like totally cool because it's like, whatever, you're eccentric. Your millennials know more about you. We appreciate that. That's fun and all. So it's totally fine. Like, my second semester at this university, I had a student say, hey, didn't you go to didn't you go to TF Expo this year? You know, in the first day of class. And it was like, okay, so my whole class knows that I'm a Transformers collector now. How am I going to deal with that? Totally fine. It's awesome. What makes me nervous is the coworkers. I feel like because I'm in a field where, you know, your students don't care how professional you are, to be completely honest, but your coworkers kind of see, like, you know, any moment of not really being professional is kind of a, ooh, that's not so cool. So I am a little nervous about having, like, toys in my office and, like, you know, displaying them and, like, someone walking in when I'm taking a break by playing with my fingers instead
yeah.
of...
Well, I mean, if anything, you can have the argument, how in any way, shape, or form is this affecting my job or my ability to do said job? You know, if liking toys and collecting toys interferes with your job,
right?
How could it possibly do that, though? You know,
I suppose if I just went back to my office and played with toys instead of preparing lectures, that could be a concern.
Hey, everything's more fun than actually doing work, but, you know.
It's a lot more fun, too. When I can be out about it, though, it's a lot more fun. Like, when I do have those few coworkers who know that I collect things, and they give me, like, did you go to any conventions lately? Did you get new stuff? Like Claire said, it is a lot more fun to just be like, you tell me about this cool, like, soccer tournament you took your kids to, and I'll tell you that I just bought a bunch of toys.
You should totally show up to teach a class sometime with an Autobot or a Decepticon shirt on. You know, just walk in.
So if I could find a decent pair, because I'm very critical and selective with my earrings. If I could find a good pair of Autobot or Decepticon symbols one, I would totally teach him them. Because I totally teach my Pokeball earrings all the time. And students always be like, you're wearing Pokeball earrings. Do you like Pokemon? You're a grown up.
Yeah, I got to catch them all.
So yeah, I would totally do that. No problem.
How about you, Claire?
Oh, gosh. I totally lost my train of thought. Like, I'm glad that I kind of... I work in a university as well, but I don't teach. I'm a lab tech. So I can kind of... I kind of have that, you know, leniency where I can wear jeans and whatever I want. But it seems like if you're able to talk to somebody about your hobby, it takes so much pressure off your shoulders. And it just makes life so much less stressful. Because you feel like you're hiding something, and like whatever you're hiding is terrible, and people are going to be like, oh, what kind of person are you? And that moment where you can freely talk about your hobby and how much you like it, it's just, oh,
it's
so much better.
It's like with even here in this household, or with my family or my coworkers, I may talk about Transformers, but I don't really go into depth because I know they really don't care. You know, I don't know how many times I've started off on a Transformers rant or a Transformers, you know, comment on something, or I'm messing with a figure, and I'll be, you know, it's like, oh, this, I love this mold and everything, and I just get that look from her, like, I have no idea what you're talking about, you know. But whenever you go and talk with your friends, you know, like whenever I go to hang out with Orson and Scott and my other Transformers friends, it's like I'm in derez mode, you know. It just, I come back and I feel refreshed because all the stuff I've been wanting to talk about, you know, where I know if I talk about the downtown headmaster, people's nose is generally going to know what I'm talking about. You know, now if I talk to my girlfriend, this downtown headmaster, she's like, what? You know, it helps. It really helps.
And that's why I'm like, oh God, I really wish there was something like BotCon still around. I haven't made the leap of faith into TFCon yet, but I feel, sure. I know, maybe in October.
I will be there this year. I will be.
I'm going to try. But it's like, I feel like there's nobody I can talk to anymore. And internet is fine. Like, communicating via Facebook and whatnot is, you know, a good substitution. but there's nothing better than being able to sit down, you know, at a bar and just start talking about toys. Because if I try and do that with my husband, he's just like, mm-hmm, yep, okay, very nice.
Now, is this Megatran?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he would be able to pick up, like, he does it by looks. Like, oh, that's a really cool figure. Like, he has a Masterpiece Optimus Prime in his office. But if you start going into detail about names, what they turn into, that sort of thing, it's just,
whew. Yeah. I mean, it's like my girlfriend. She learns some of the main ones. You know, she knows Optimus Prime. She knows Bumblebee. She loves Jazz because her daughter's name is Jasmine. So, you know, she calls her Jazz all the time. So, you know, I've actually bought her several Jazz figures, except for I haven't gotten her a G1 yet. But, you know, she's 13 and she's starting to get into that age where, you know, she's starting to take interest in, you know, outside interest in toys. And I noticed the other day, conspicuously, all of her toys disappeared in her room. So, sad day. Sad day. I'm trying to work on that. Peter, you have any... questions so far for the girls?
Questions. The only thing that can come to mind in terms of like women in collecting and women in Transformer collecting specifically is how do you feel about like the representation of female characters and the prevalence of them as they more and more show up in the comic books and cartoons with bigger roles and bigger you know presence throughout the fandom or I'm sorry throughout the franchise. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it makes me feel good. It's not one of those things where I'm like, we need more female characters. We need no. I'm just like, whatever. Like, it's not a huge thing to me, but it is nice to see more of that female representation in the brand because it's been lacking
severely.
It's severely yeah. over the last few years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So this is actually. Sorry, I was distracted for just a second looking at my notes, but because this is one of the questions I ask people. So for me, I definitely felt the lack of female characters early on because, yeah, I grew up with G1 and then I went into Beast Wars and all that good stuff. And so it was always kind of told to me that they were there, that they existed, that they were super rare for some reason. And if you really wanted... as a female fan to latch onto a female character, you kind of were stuck with whatever you had, right? Like in G1, you had RC, and if you didn't like RC, too bad. If you thought she wasn't that great of a character, too bad, wait 10 years and you'll get a new one, which isn't really the best thing. But I think, like, I'm glad that there's more characters around. I definitely always have this kind of moment in my mind where I always wonder why there's gender dimorphism in robot people. Like, there's always that kind of, like, moment coming back for me asking that. And that kind of brings me to one of the questions I asked people was how you felt about the representation. And I actually only had a couple people say that growing up they wished there were more female characters. They didn't really say that they wished there were more. They didn't really say they wished there was more of a variety. And honestly, you know, I even had one person tell me that they didn't really like gender being with their robots at all because they felt like it didn't make sense. And I have to admit, I don't really think it makes sense either, but for some reason I still want it. So,
well, it goes back to like the argument a few years back whenever the Chrome Dome and Rewind thing, you know, it's like, you know, Transformers being portrayed as gay or ambiguously gay, you know, it's like, no, they're robots, you know, they are really non-gender, but this the way they, I'm sorry, I have a dog, they have the way they're portrayed, you know, it's, the way I see it, you know, you have your female. Transformers, they are generally, you know, the female traits or traits that you would attribute to females in general, and we're speaking in general here, not trying to pigeonhole, but women tend to be more gentler and more nurturing and kind than males. You have that in a robot form that's a female transformer. And then, you know, in males you have more aggressive, more masculine features, such as, you know, just being overbearing. You know, guys tend to be that way. I see that having a place in Transformers. Now having actual gender for procreation, I don't see a point because they're robots. You know, they don't do that. I don't understand how like Optimus Prime and Alita One could make a child Transformer. You wouldn't expect them to do that. Now, if they both went together and actually built another Transformer together, then yeah, in a way they begat that character. But there's no, I don't, is there any history of two Transformers making another Transformer in that way? No.
I think there was a Minicon character from Armada named Falchio. Let me look it up. Someone somewhere in there got built. Let me look it up.
Did you say his name was Felcher? What?
Falchio. F-A-L-C-H-I-A, I believe.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Me either. I mean, we do see that some characters get built in G1, but there was never like a romantic, let's build them together.
Yeah.
Like, well, Jack and Ratchet got together and romantically built Dinobots.
Because, in all honesty, I mean, yes, there is techno-organic, but there's not really that kind of biological component to a transforming robot. Let's be honest here. Yeah.
Beast Wars kind of pushed that line in a weird way. At least Beast Machine's dead later.
The seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
If you want to talk about box art that was really annoying, that's one right there. When we were talking about box art earlier. Mm-hmm. The Beast Machine's box art was just, this is a nothing, a grand nothing.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was a grand nothing.
It was like it was all Cheetor.
All Cheetor, and then for Battle for the Spark, it was all Optimus. Just roaring. Just.
It's like, how can we cheap out on the packaging? So.
Yeah, and one thing that I was really curious about was like how people are reacting now that there is more representation. And, you know, like, honestly, the reactions I got from people were really varied because, like, it makes me nervous. The representation that we've gotten, like, in the IDW comics, because it's been slightly heavy-handed. You know, a lot of people have mentioned that it's slightly heavy-handed. And to me, it's good because if there is gender among Transformers, I do want to see women being represented if they are there. I don't understand how gender developed for robots because gender was a consequence of biological sex for humans. So where did it come from with robots? I really don't get it, but I'm still cool with it. But then when you have characters that some people feel like are being pushed on them, like a lot of people complain about Windblade, it almost tells the creators to go the other direction. It's like, oh, people said we're pushing too hard, so maybe we should just go back to an entire series with all dude Transformers or an entire toy line with all male Transformers. So I think it's kind of like the strangely difficult thing to do.
Back in Generation 1 as a kid, RC literally just appeared out of nowhere. You know, there was no real backstory. Where did she come from? You know, yes, we had the story, of with the female Autobots in Season 2. Search for Alpha Trion, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where we were introduced to Alita and Moonracer and Firestar. And there was really no backstory. Where did they come from, too? Maybe Alita a little bit, because if you look back at the, War Dawn, when Orion Pax became Optimus Prime, and didn't Ariel become Alita One? Is that how it worked?
Alpha Trion was saying that he was going to rebuild her and was trying to think of a name.
Yeah. I shall call her Alita One, yeah. So I guess they were Alita One is the only female Transformer that ever really had an origin backstory. And even then, it's kind of like a passing reference. But RC, by 1986, she just showed up in the cartoon. She just appeared in the movie. She was there. But as a fan and watching the show, I just accepted her there. I didn't really consider, you know, what's this, a girl Transformer? Why? I didn't care. It just seemed natural. And her character was so good. You know, she, that forceful female lead, you know, like a Princess Leia, you know, which I guess in part her look was actually based upon, you know, with the bun hairdo and everything. You know, I just accepted her. There was no conscious, you know, why is she there? Why does she need to be there? Only now do we, when we're scrutinizing, you know, female Transformers, do we stop and think, why did we even need female Transformers? Well, in all honesty, though, you could look at the antithesis of that. Why do we need male Transformers? Why can't they all be female?
We don't.
I want to say the comics played a lot into that, because I was kind of in the same mindset of, okay, these characters, you know, RC just showed up. You know, when I was watching it, I didn't need a backstory on any character. I was just watching for the episode. And, you know, even with Beast Wars, Beast Machines, and for me, I kind of skipped over. I went from RID in 2001, and I skipped over, you know, Armada, Cybertron, and all that.
Good choice.
Probably better for it. Yeah.
And I don't think this whole thought process of we need a backstory for characters, like the whole female thing really didn't even come to mind for me, because my favorite characters were always, you know, Wheeljack and Hound. I never really cared for the female characters. And I almost think the whole IDW universe is maybe a little to blame for this need of backstory.
I agree with that, because it was the fact that at one point it stated that Transformers don't have gender, and then eventually gender comes back, that really caused it to be this kind of strange thing. Before, we just kind of accepted it as, oh well, there's some female characters, whatever. But then as soon as you've stated for sure that it isn't there, and it shows up later, then it gets weird, and you have to explain it. You're forced to explain it at that point.
Mm-hmm. And they did an okay job explaining it, I guess. I mean, Furman was the one that said there is no gender, it's just, you know, singular, and then RC was experimented on, and then, oh wait, we have Kaminus, and that's a whole planet full of females, but we forgot about them, and then they had to, you know, come up with creative reasons as to why we forgot about the colonies and whatnot. I accept the explanation. And I accept the characters. Nautica is one of my favorite characters in recent memory. She's cool. Fantastic. Yeah.
And, I think we're just seeing the beginning of an influx of female characters into Transformers. If you go back go back 10 years. We were lucky if we even thought about an RC character. You know, we had a few female characters in Beast Wars, you know, like Black Arachnia and Air Razor. But throughout the years, it's been very sparse, very sporadic with female characters. You know, beyond the Beast Wars characters, we had there was, I believe, an RC and a Flare Up and Flame War in the BotCon timelines. But we really didn't have female characters, female toys. I think the very first, outside of the Beast Wars, well, it was still a Beast Wars character. The first time we ever got RC was a repaint of Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia, wasn't it? Or Tarantulas?
Yeah.
Black Arachnia. So,
but we had Night Racer before that from BotCon 95, which was a BotCon that was organized by a female fan. So if you want to talk about females in the fandom, there's a perfect example of.
I should have reached out to Raksha as well, because I've actually got her as a friend on Facebook. It would have really been cool to get her input on this. But I've you know, now here we are in the last couple years, we've already gotten several female Transformer toys. RC, the Generations RC, the Generations Chromia. Now we've got Moonracer, Alita 1, Firestar.
Windblade.
Yeah. So it's starting to happen more and more and more. I can actually see, you know, a good portion of a cast and a future Transformers line being all female.
I
could see it happening. I mean, I'm not saying it will happen.
I could see it happening in a comic. I could see like an all female crew on a ship or on a planet or something.
I could see that too. I just don't see it in a toy line, because I'm afraid. I don't think Hasbro would be that brave.
We've like
already had a couple of all-female teams.
Yes, teams. Yes. But complete line, I just don't see it.
Yeah. Oh, unless we forget an entire female combiner, too. So.
Could you imagine just the hideous idea of, like, you know how they will often, a cartoon will come out and last about 8 episodes that is an attempt at, like, you know, Star Wars for girls or... this or that for girls. There's been a bunch of toy lines that were like, you know, DC superhero girls or whatever they were called, and they did a Marvel line that was similar that didn't last very long. They did the one I just mentioned as well. Could you imagine if they did that with Transformers? They tried to make a girl targeted Transformers cartoon and toy series.
There's a toy series coming out. It's called Bots, I believe, and it's basically Shopkins that are Transformers. They turn into random stuff.
Really? I had not heard about this.
So there were some trademarks that dropped a few months ago somewhere in there, and that's what these are from. And it's basically, they're going to be blind packs. They're Shopkins, essentially. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to be marketed, but Shopkins themselves are basically girl toys.
Yeah, and they're huge. Right? And my girlfriend's daughter is big into them. Yeah. So I guess will they actually transform, or?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
So let's get back to the female collectors themselves. Now, as collectors yourselves, what drives you to be a Transformers fan? That you can say. I mean, what allured you to Transformers? Which is, as we stated at the beginning of the show, it's a toy line targeted mainly at guys. So, what allured you to Transformers, Claire?
I've always been like big into Legos and things that I could kind of play with and build and, you know, kind of make my brain work. And I always felt like with the Transformers, there was a challenge. Like, dolls never appealed to me, because it was, you know, what am I going to do with this? Like, it's just going to sit there and I'm going to do. But like, something about, and maybe it's because, you know, my father is an engineer and I've always been, you know, technical, into the sciences and whatnot. And I think that played a huge part in my fascination with this whole line. And it's nice because they're all different. You know, there's, you know, some remolding nowadays, but they all have something different to them, whether it's the color, you know, the way they transform, what they turn into. It wasn't the same thing over and over again. And I'm still on that, you know, you need something that makes you think.
Keeps you on your toes, as it were.
Yeah.
I like that perspective, because I tried to collect dolls for a little while once again, when I was on the dating market, I thought it was more of a wholesome collection to do. And it was just so boring because all their bodies were identical. And it was like, here's a different face and they wear different clothes, but it's the same figure over and over. And I wanted something that I could fold up into a different shape because that's always been fun to me to do that. And personally, I have a fascination with robots. I just like our technological life instead of organic life is really cool to me. I don't know. I mean, I pretty much think growing up with Transformers and Voltron, you know, robots that were neat is pretty much what caused me to have this like interest in the first place. So it's kind of circular, but I think that's it. I really like robots and I really like, I like collecting, but I like collectibles that I can do something with. Like I really liked collecting for card games because I could play with them. You know, there was a game to play with them, and I beat mine up a lot more than most people did because I was stubborn and I would always play with them. And it's the same thing with my Transformers. It's like I got into fancier dolls because they had more joints, more posability, and more things you could do with them. But really what I wanted was Transformers because there's all sorts of cool things you can do with them. I tend to not put mine in, you know, super like fighting poses all the time because I get bored with it because everyone comes with a gun and everyone can do the holding a gun pose. It's kind of dull. But you can put them in all sorts of poses and I like to try to make them do things they're not supposed to, you know, like dancing around and doing more casual things that they're not really built for. And that's just fun to me. Is being able to actually, you know, pick up your collectible that looks cool as is, mess around with it. Now it's doing something else and it's kind of a different thing. And you put it back on the shelf and it's better for a minute. It's like rearranging.
Or you can have a shelf full of robots or you can have a shelf full of vehicles. Or
for the few people who display it, back and forth. Mode, yes.
I've actually done that before. I've actually done that before. There, for about 6 months, a couple of years ago, I had all my Masterpiece Autobots in vehicle form lined up across my top shelves of my Detolfs. And I'm like, you know what? It's not done that often, and it looked pretty cool. I may do that again sometime. But the only drawback is it takes up a lot more room than a robot form.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten to that point where in my Detolf cases, I need to put some in vehicle mode in the front and then the rest in robot mode because they just will not fit.
I do that too. That's the only reason I do vehicle mode is they fit better. If I could put a car in front of a man, that way I would fit twice as many.
Or if in bot mode, they just fall over way too easy and I'm tired of like having them like wedged in between the shelf and the door. So when you open the door, they all come tumbling out.
You do that thing where you're opening the door and you got your hand like this, just to hold it so it don't fall out.
And then you got like your foot kind of on the bottom to make sure the door doesn't vibrate when you open it.
Or if it does fall out, it'll hit your soft foot instead of the hard floor.
There's that. They all fit nicely in whatever mode in a bin. Hundreds of bins lined up nicely in a storage unit somewhere.
That right? Sounds so terrible to me.
It's terribly depressing. Yeah.
I'm all out. That's why I have to limit myself. I don't have room for thousands, so I have to keep myself at hundreds, which is so much more reasonable.
I have keep all my Chug stuff in the living room. Yeah.
What? Quick question for each one of you. What is the one thing you display the most in your collection? You know, is it Masterpiece, Chug, what specifically?
For me, it's G1. Well, G1, G2, Masterpiece, and alternators, actually. But a majority of the cases are G1.
Anna?
For me, it's Masterpiece. That's, like, mostly what I display, because I just, you know, shared my focus on posability and changing poses, so I really like my fancy toys that I can repose easy. Unfortunately, my G1 are on the shelf closest to the ground, because
so
you know, you can't see them as well, and I'm not as excited about them, but I definitely put the more posable figures up top at eye level so that I can mess with them more often and put them in a more different, you know, positions. And I don't mess with them that much, but, you know, even every couple months, messing around with something, I like that a lot more than not being able to. So that's what I focus on.
Peter, what about you?
Oh, the only thing I have displayed right now, I have a couple of Masterpiece figures in my living room, but I have a whole wall of bookcases that are just Chug. I appreciate that. I mean, Gen 1's my favorite. But yeah, the breadth of characters that are available in the Classics, Henke, Universe, Generations, whatever, scale, line, format, that's what I have on display.
Although I have to say, Prime Wars is starting to quickly approach that, because literally the directly behind me, this entire case back here is, with the exception of the reissue Fort Max I have, the entire case is Prime Wars Trilogy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that blows me away. An entire display case. But I, you know, before we move on too far, I mean, and we kind of have in a way, but I do want to go back to something other we were touching on before, and maybe expound upon it. You know, coming out to family, friends, and coworkers, and I'll share you an example. Like with myself, with my girlfriend, whenever we first met and we first started talking, you know, I didn't talk about Transformers, you know, at least for at least a couple of days or two. And whenever you came to my apartment that I was living in, outside of, you know, posters that I had hanging on the wall, there were no toys on display in the living room, or even my bedroom. There's, you know, I had one room. That was nothing but my toys. But I told her, you know, it was obvious that I was a big Transformers fan. But I told her, I said, look, I also collect. My collection is rather sizable. And I put forth a lot of effort and money into my hobby. It's very important to me. And I made that very clear whenever we first got together. And I remember, you know, having that trepidation, how is this person who I'm growing attached to, that I care about very much, how is she going to react whenever she sees this for the very first time? And that day that I walked up, that was at my apartment, I opened up the door and I flipped the light on, and I had it to where all the lights come on at the same time, even in the display cases. And I just kind of cringed because I was waiting for the, oh my God, you know, moment. And I did hear, oh my God. And then it went to, this is so awesome. I just had that giddy feeling. And my question to you, ladies, is whenever your significant other, your spouse, whenever you came out to them, how did they feel about it? I mean, there's that first time, I mean, when you were dating, or first met, that they found out that you were a fan and collector. How did they feel? We'll go with Anna first.
So literally the reason I got together with my significant other is because we have a mutual interest in video games and, you know, older Japanese role-playing games. We bonded on liking, you know, certain aspects of them, you know, specifically the music of them. And that's how we, you know, started talking to each other in the first place. So I think he was probably prepared for me to have nerdy hobbies like this. He probably knew it was coming. And I think that, you know, in general, his reaction was super positive. It was, you know, you have this hobby that causes you to have a lot of stuff, which makes me slightly nervous. However, it's, you know, a wholesome hobby that doesn't require, you know, doing anything illegal or anything like that. So
it's like, I have a crack habit, but it's not that kind of crack.
Right, exactly. It was crack. Like, don't worry, I have no time for addictive substances because I have to mess with all these toys.
Nor do you have the money for addictive substances.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no designer drugs for me because they cost too much because I have my designer toys. So I think that was kind of his reaction. But I will say that in the dating process, I kind of learned that was something I almost wanted to, even though I hid my collection at first, I realized that I really wanted to spring that on people relatively early because...
Be yourself.
If they couldn't be accepting of a little thing, like being a toy collector, they really couldn't be accepting of all my idiosyncrasies and strange things about me in the first place.
And
it's like, it's not like I'm going to tell someone just because they like sports and I'm not into sports that, you know, oh, that's a deal breaker. I can't be here with you or anything like that. So I feel like you expect the same thing, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, my previous girlfriend and a large portion of why we're no longer together is she had a very, very difficult time. At first, she said she accepted it. But she had a very, very difficult time that I put so much time, effort, energy, and money into my hobby that is very dear, near, and important to me. She ultimately had issues with it. I mean, it's not the whole reason we're not together, but it was a good portion of it. And she would actually lament the fact that, you know, if I went and got, I remember one day I got the Brave figure in the mail. It was Sun Firebird, if you guys know who that is. I got Sun Firebird in. I want to say I spent, you know, $100-$150 on it, sealed. And whenever I got it out, I'm looking at it. I remember her asking, how much did you pay for that? And I said, $150. She shit a brick. You know, it's like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, I wanted it. I could afford it. I bought it. You know, it's my hobby. You know this. This is not new. And it was like a downhill spiral after that. You know, I'll never forget that. And I told myself right then, whenever we split and we were no more, that I am me. I accept me for me. My friends accept me for me. My family accepts me for me. If I'm going to be with somebody, they absolutely, unequivocally must accept this part of me. And if I'm not, and I'm not going to hide it, I'm going to express it right away. I mean, it was within the first week or two that we were dating that I revealed my hobby to her, because it's something that's important to me. And depending on her reaction would have, you know, dictated whether or not we would stay together. And I'll be honest, you know, we've all seen that meme. You know, it's like, it's either me or your Transformers. All right, see ya, bitch. Quite frankly, you know, and it's not being petty. It's not being crude. It's honest. It would be the same as if she had a similar like or interest. You know, she loves to read, and sometimes, somebody who loves to read sometimes will get really engrossed into a book. Not very good conversationalist sometimes. You know, they're sitting on the couch. You want to carry on a conversation. You know, they're reading. You know, but I'm not going to knock her, because that's something that I know she enjoys, and I fully support it. You know, I bought her two Kindles already. One got destroyed by the dog, but you know, I fully support it because I know it's something she enjoys, and you know, and in turn, I expect her to support me and care that I enjoy this hobby, and that is important. Whenever you're with a significant other, whether you're male or female. And I'm curious, you know, with you ladies being female collectors, how your significant other, your spouse, reacted whenever they found out you were a fan and collector. How about you, Claire?
I'm going to start off by saying I have a very similar situation. I had just graduated college around 2008, and I moved to Tennessee to be with my then boyfriend, and he wasn't exactly the most supportive person in the world with my hobby. So the year that I lived down there, my collecting took a way backseat in life, and Transformers wasn't even in the forefront of my brain. I had almost like shut that switch off in my head, because he kind of just made me feel like, this is stupid. Why are you doing this? You know,
belittled you in a way.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, it made me feel like destroyed inside. And that's, you know, I came back to Connecticut, where I grew up, and it took a really long time for me to kind of get back into the hobby, because I just felt like, why am I wasting my time with this? What am I doing? You know, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And when I met my now husband, we had a long distance relationship for a year and a half. And so he really never saw my collection, because at that point,
long distance relationships are hard enough to begin with.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, we would Skype all the time, and, you know, we were almost 700 miles apart. And at that point, my entire collection was in Rubbermaid bins in the basement. I had gotten to that point in my life where I'm like, nope, I'm boxing everything up and just seeing where it goes. And then he came out with the U-Haul when I decided to move out here to Michigan. And that's when he saw, like, I think at that point I had like 5 Rubbermaid containers, and he helped load them up into the U-Haul. And, you know, every now and again I'd catch him opening up the Rubbermaid and seeing what was really in there. And I think the thing that really showed me that he appreciated my hobby was I had started working, and he had gone to IKEA while I was at work and picked me up like 3 Delta-Off cases and put them in the game room we have downstairs. And I walked in there and he was like, well, now you finally have a place that you can display your toys. And that was just like,
That would send me to my knees. I'm a very emotional guy. Yeah. That would send me to my knees. I'm like, I love you.
I think that was just kind of like, okay, you're a keeper. Like, if you support me this much in my obsessive hobby, this is going to work out.
Yeah.
That is so sweet. And honestly, I had like the exact same experience. Like, mm-hmm. my fiance also bought me shelving, including a detolf, to better display my toys. And it was just like, oh, that is fantastic that you care about how I display these.
And it's funny, like, I'd much rather have a Detolf case than a nice piece of jewelry. It's like, for birthdays,
never have enough Detolfs. But well, it's like my girlfriend, you know, I told her, or I said earlier, you know, how, you know, she went and bought her own G1 Weird Wolf and everything, that very same BotCon, as a gesture. You know, she knew something that I loved, and something that I was really seeking. Because we went into the convention knowing it was the last BotCon and everything. She asked me the question, and it was important. I mean, it really stood out to me, because she was interested in, you know, what is that one, what's one toy that you've always been wanting and looking for? And whenever the opportunity arose at BotCon 2016, she did it. She bought it for me. And it wasn't something small. She bought me this.
Ooh, Deserus. Nice.
And I'm like, this is not a small change item here. You know, I'm like, it spoke volumes to me. You know, while, you know, sometimes she gives me that, what the hell are you talking about? What, why, you know. That look, or sometimes, you know, that disapproving look whenever I walk in the door with a new toy. I know still she supports me, because you don't spend the kind of money that you would spend on something like this if you don't support me in that way, you know. And that really endeared me to her in that aspect, because it showed me a level of support that was beyond, okay, I'll accept that's what you like. You know, whenever you open up your wallet and say something to your significant other for something that they care and they love, to me, that is saying volumes right there. What are your guys' thoughts on, before I knock everything down here, Czar, stand up. Yeah, I can do this later. Put my wolf back in there. I guess my question is whenever your significant other really shows you their support, do they continue to support it, or is it like something that you just assume is there from prior things? I mean, do they still support it to this day? Do you ever get that disapproving look from time to time? It's normal. It's normal. It's natural.
It always happens when a very, very large Big Bad Toy Store box shows up.
And you get that...
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what did you order now?
With me, the question is always, do you really have room for that?
No.
Like, where is that going to go? You do realize you're out of space, right? So
I get that a lot, too. Where are you going to put that at? Do you know where you're going to put that? And I'm like, I'll find somewhere.
For me, it's like to the point of, am I going to need to run to Lowe's and get some more storage bins? Like, do you have enough room in storage for all this?
Anna, do you have, you had some more research that you want to talk about?
Please put it in quotes. Research.
Air quotes. Research.
Honestly, the last thing I really wanted us to talk about, because I know we've already gone at a decent length. The last thing I really wanted us to talk about was just toys. And not like, let's just talk about toys. But female figures. It's something that I didn't originally plan to ask people about, but I really realized that I should ask people about. And that's how we feel about not just the representation as far as in the fiction, but actually in the toys. Because, you know, recently we have gotten, as you mentioned, as we talked about for just a minute, we have gotten more female figures. And you got out your Nova Star, and I complained about it because I really don't like that figure very much. And there's been quite a number of female figures that have come out that aren't great. And there's been some that are really good as well. So I think it would be cool if we spend a little time talking about, you know, is it a good thing to try to bring in female figures? Is it really helpful? And what if they're terrible?
Arachnid, anyone?
Exactly. One person that I talked to told me that she didn't buy any of the female figures that came out because she hasn't seen any that she actually thought were good. She actually thought they were all worse than most of the male figures that came out. And honestly, like, as much as in my mind I was like, I'm going to bring up someone to prove her wrong, I was like, well, honestly, not really. I didn't really have any great ones to bring up. I have a few in a pile over here to show examples of ones that I think are, you know, good enough and ones that I think are absolutely atrocious. But I still own them. So yeah, other people's thoughts.
I'll let everybody else.
I know most of my, actually, probably 100% of my female characters and toys are still sealed. I have a few like loose ones, but even just like looking at them through the packaging, they just seem so fragile to me. And that's probably the female, you know, structure.
Everything's got to be dainty and
And I almost feel like if I mess with them, I'm going to do something and break it.
I'm waiting for a Transformer to have that. I don't know if you get this reference, but have that Nia Jax build. You know, the female wrestler Nia Jax. She's a plus size wrestler. You know, why not have a plus size Transformer female character? You know,
there are a couple larger female characters in More Than Meets the Eye. They were introduced. They were hanging out with Thunderclash, I believe. That's where Velocity was on that same crew. And they're, you know, pretty big and bulky. But yeah, it would be great to see them as toys.
Absolutely.
I agree with the fragility thing, because one of my favorite female molds that I do have a couple of is this one, which I do like quite a bit, but several
Which one is that for the audio listeners?
So this is the MMC mold that they did. Gosh, it's pretty old now, right? Like, it's a 2012 or so mold, I think.
Based on Azalea? Yep.
Yeah, so this is Zinnia, which is a repaint of, or a recolor. I guess there's not really any paint on this figure to speak of. There's like two strips of paint, but it's a version of the Azalea mold. And a lot of people where I've said, ooh, I really like this one, they're like, well, you know, I really like MMC stuff, but that one is just too fragile for me. It doesn't transform very well and things like that. And I honestly have to agree, even though I like it for posing as a humanoid figure, I'm very gentle with my figures, so I don't really worry about breaking them. But I know some people are more, you know, rough with their figures, so they might kill this poor thing, which would be a bummer. But it also, like, I really do not like the transformation on this. It's finicky and bizarre and not wonderful compared to some other figures I have that look just as good but transform a lot better. You know, like other MMC figures, for instance. So I definitely see the fragility with a lot of them. And I think our other option that we see most of the time is, I know Peter brought up that he really likes Nautica, is when we get a version of a character that we like that is just, right, exactly, I see that finger. Why don't you like it? Because it's just a straight up repaint with...
It's a blur, okay, with plug-in wings and, yeah, and...
Yeah, someone recently told me this was not just a repaint, they added wings.
Okay, see, I liked that version. And you know, I will say, I have, other than the Quintessons that came out by Impossible Toys, I have zero third-party product in my collection.
Wow.
And that could be my, you know, thought process of why I liked that one versus a lot of these other, you know, female third-party figures.
You know, that's a rarity in our collector, in our hobby, yeah, today, is finding somebody that doesn't really collect third-party.
Yep. I've been, from day one, and I know people will probably hate me for saying this, but from day one, I've been on the mindset of, you're stealing intellectual property from Hasbro. Why are you, like, in general, why are you giving these companies money to, you know, continue doing this? And I've always thought that, like, you're spending a lot of money for something that you don't know the quality, you don't know, you know, how long it's going to last, because I've seen in our Transformer group on Facebook, a lot of the figures are starting to fall apart and break, and I'm just like, why am I going to invest $300 to $600 on a combiner that, you know, could be a dust pile in a few years?
That's a very true statement, and I totally
agree. And very valid,
too.
I
do have to say that some of the third-party companies have put out some of the better female figures, for sure, so that's probably one of the reasons you like Nautica more than I do.
This one right here.
Really.
The Fans Toys.
Really waiting for a good Nautica.
Rogue. Or, I'm sorry, Rouge. Rouge is really nice, too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have thoughts on her, but anyway. She's okay.
She does have some spindly parts, but she's got a lot of diecast on her, too. So.
Her transformation wasn't fun, and I really think there can be an RC figure someday that actually has a transformation that's actually fun. So far, there isn't, but I really think that someday we'll have one, maybe. If people can't keep making a bunch of them.
Nothing wrong with it, you know.
But I guess that's one, like, thing I do want to, like, put out there is it better to have, you know, actually now I'm going to grab something else. Is it better to have this kind of version of a female figure where you take a male figure that was, the blur mold is good. It's a good mold. I like to play with it.
They made RC out of it.
Right. And that one's a little more effortful. I like that a little bit better, but I have an open mind. So she's not here. Or is it better to make an entirely female mold that comes out more, you know, classically feminine, but the toy sucks more?
I prefer a mold that is originally intended to be a female rather than a remolded male character. Because if the toy is going to be, if it's intended to be a female, then it will look more feminine. You know, whereas you take, like, now the caveat of that is, like, whenever it's very obvious that whenever they made the blur mold, they gave it slightly feminine features, you know, the slender legs and a sleeker build, to where it would work as a female character, and it does work as RC. But you know, as a trade-off, you get a very slender-looking male character and a very male-looking female character of sorts. Whereas, you know, like with this character, it was intended to be a female character, and outside of the horrible sides of the legs, she's got a very female form outside of the backpack. You know, it looks like a lady carrying a very large camping gear on her back. And I'm, for the audio listeners, I'm holding up Nova Star here. So, I prefer that because, I mean, she, if you look at her, she's got the slender waist, the slender legs. She looks female. Now, would this have worked as Nova Star if it was originally a male character? Probably not. At least not in my book.
Maybe if it was like Rung. Rung's pretty lean. I think that would make a great Rung figure if it were to be repainted.
Yeah.
With a, you know, Rung with a
human. Well, there are certain male characters that are inherently, you know, spindly. Like Rung would be, you know, I guess Blur in a sort could be a spindly character because he's a runner, you know. But that's my preference. I'll pass it off to you guys. Whoever wants to speak up next. Anybody?
I mean, I could see. I definitely agree that I'd rather have a new mold for a female character versus, you know, a male mold used as a female. But I think, like you said about Blur being a runner, I think that's why that mold works for Blur and Velocity. Because, or is it Nautica? No, duh.
It's Nautica.
It's Nautica. Like, the characters themselves have to be fast and sleek and sleek and slender usually mean faster. So that kind of works. But, like, I do think I'd, you know, with some of the other female characters, it would have been nicer to have a brand new mold that really took detail into the female physique.
I like that. I like that. What about you, Peter?
I don't disagree. Yeah, I'd rather have new molds that are purpose-built for female characters or for male characters, whoever it's going to be. Just make new molds. Let's do it right the first time.
So, you know, we've actually went a little bit longer than we normally go, but like I said, this is the 300th episode. Very special topic, very important topic. Do you guys have any thoughts that on the subject of female collectors that maybe you want to state or have always wondered or anything in this type of forum? Claire, what about you?
I remember saying this on the panel I was a part of at one of the BotCons. I can't remember which one it was, the last one, I believe. If there's one thing I could say to female fans, it's don't be, like, nervous about telling people about it, because there's a lot of us out there that would love to have you, like, communicate with us. Like, we want a group of females that we could all just, you know, whether it's online, you know, local meetups, whatever. That would be super cool to have all female Transformer meetups every now and again, or just chats. You know, don't be scared. We're friendly, and we want to know more about, like, how many of you are out there, you know? Because I was always the one that was like, I don't want to say anything. I'm going to be embarrassed, you know.
You're going to be the only one there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm going to be an outsider, and you're not. There's a lot of us out there.
And, you know, we're fortunate that the Transformers fandom is very accepting that there's female fans and collectors out there. I've never, in all my years going to BotCon or any convention for that matter, or even going on the boards, and you know how vicious the boards can get sometimes. I've never really heard people talking bad about female collectors, or you know, being a collector, a girl collector of any capacity of Transformers. Oh, she's a girl, she likes Transformers. That's cool. That's great. Most Transformers fans and collectors find it really cool. You know, and truth be told, a lot of fans and collectors out there that are single guys and everything, they hope that that the female collector would also be single too. And hey, you know, you collect, I collect. You know, it don't work that way. You know, there's we've said
never got that before.
You know, we've said it on the podcast here before. You don't go to a convention, especially a Transformers convention, and expect to meet women. You know, because if they're there, they're usually either taken or not interested in you. Not saying that it don't happen, but you know, don't expect it. But we know and are aware of female collectors, and it's totally cool. You know, I've never had an issue with it. I never considered it until I went to my first BotCon and saw girls buying Transformers for themselves. I'm like, that's cool. You know, just, and it's something I didn't see that I saw and didn't accept. I just saw it and thought it was cool. Anna, what about you?
I probably have more closing thoughts that I really need to have, but the one thing I would really like to say is just when people are trying to think of ways to include female fans, I want them to actually, you know, think about it a little bit, because I feel like sometimes people do a kind of awkward job of it. And I feel like, you know, some efforts to make the fandom more accessible for women haven't worked very well, where others really have. So I think that, you know, it's good to actually think about these things. It's also what I do for a living, is make sure that efforts to include people actually work out. So maybe I'm a little bit biased. But the thing about that is I really want people not to assume that all female collectors are similar, or that they're, you know, that it's like a group. You know, you have your G1ers, you have your Chug people, and then you have women. Right? That's not how it works. We run in the same, you know, different groups as everybody else. And everyone I talked to this week gave me utterly different answers. You know, I was surprised by some. Some people agreed with me and, you know, shared similar opinions and thoughts that I have. And some were just completely different than me. And I was really appreciative of that. And I think that's something that we really need to just, you know, to share, is that we're just, no matter what part of the fandom you go to, we're going to be there. That sounds like a threat, and I guess it is.
It's a total threat. We will be there.
Totally non-threatening threat.
Yeah.
Totally. What about you, Peter?
I'm not a woman in the fandom, but I appreciate that they're there. I've known Claire online for a number of years now. We've yet to actually meet, but we're working on, we had a couple of close calls. But yeah, and Anna, it's been great getting to know you over the course of, you know, the show here, and
I
love that there are female fans, and I welcome more. Let's do this. Great characters, great female characters in the fiction. It's fantastic.
You know, and you bring up a very appropriate point there, Peter. You know, one of the reasons I asked Anna to join the cast several weeks ago is, like I said at the beginning of the show, two of the original cast members of TFYLP were female. And, you know, they've since moved on to other things. But, you know, I always kept Natsume, she'll once in a while record something for me. She does. If you listen to the audio version of the podcast, she's the first person you hear every week on the podcast, because she does the sponsor listing know, to hear that female voice of a person that cares about this fandom and everything, and to know and acknowledge. I've always wanted to keep the acknowledgement that there are female fans out there, you know, and I want the female voice in the fandom to always be heard on TFYLP, and you know. And Anna, you know, asking you to join the podcast was not on accident. You know, I was extremely excited whenever you said that you wanted to join, because you offer that female voice. And you know, I would even extend the same to Claire. You know, if you would love to join the cast of TFYLP to continue to be a voice for the female fandom on the show, you know, it helps round out the podcast in a way that we serve the fandom, and you know, that way other female fans like yourselves can come to the podcast and hear that female voice that is just as passionate about this great hobby that as the guys on the show. And you don't just hear 3-4 dudes sitting around talking about it. You hear that female voice that reminds you, hey, they're like me. And I want that on this show. We need that on this show. And you guys are just as important as anybody. You know, because you represent a part of the fandom that is wonderful. I find it absolutely wonderful.
And no everything. Pressure.
None at all. No.
But hey, we've dedicated the 300th episode of TFYLP to you ladies. You know, I mean, it's not like you've done something harrowing or anything like that. You're just a collector of toys, just like us. But it's something. But you guys kind of are. You know, you're out there. People don't really think about it unless it's actually brought up, like we have today. But you're there, you know, and that's important. You know, I don't want you to be forgotten. You know, like Claire said, you know, and Anna said, and. Carrie, in the live chat here, you know, how often have you sought out, you know, to talk with either other female fans? You know, Claire, you just said, you know, it'd be great to have an all female group, you know, just to talk about Transformers, talk about your hobby, you know, so that tells you right there that other females, fans and collectors are seeking out other female fans and collectors to share this hobby with. And that's one of the things we have here. And, you know, who knows? Maybe wouldn't it be a cool idea to have an episode of TFYLP that's all female once in a while? How about that? You know?
We have to get rid of you, though. What do we do without you around?
I can do the broadcast, but I cannot be on air. You know, I can do that. I mean, I have the process here, so just keep that in mind. You know, I'm sure you guys know some people that you could invite to be on the show, and you know, make it a full cast of 3 or 4. You know, that would be wonderful. I would think that would be awesome to have an all female cast of Transformers.
Again, no pressure.
No pressure at all. We just like we've had no pressure whenever we first started the show 300 episodes ago. You know. So, I mean, we, you know, we sat down, two guys behind a mic, thought nobody'd listen to this shit, you know, and here we are 1,500 plus subscribers later, you know, across multiple different platforms, you know, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, you're all out there, you know, we love our fans and we all love this hobby, you know, I'm rambling, but you know, it's important. It's important. Any other closing thoughts, you guys? And no, and I'm Ational. I will not dress in drag to be on the show.
Come on.
Because I'm telling you right now, I'd make one ugly looking chick. And the goatee's not going anywhere. That is an edict from my girlfriend. She likes my goatee. So. She said, you shave it, I'm gone. I'm like, okay, I'll keep it. All right, guys, this has been a really fun episode, at least for me. I hope it was for you guys. Claire,
this is great.
I thank you so much for being on today, and I'm totally serious. If you want to join us, that would be great too.
Thanks for having me on.
Give you that outlet to talk with other fans that, you know, sometimes you don't get from BotCon, you know, because there are no more BotCons.
Don't give up hope.
Never give up. Never surrender.
That was a good one.
Yes. Anna, thank you for being on this week, and thank you for all the research that you did.
Thank you. It
was great stuff. And without you, I mean, I thought all week about stuff to talk about on the show, but I'm like, who better to talk to other female fans and talk about other female fans than a female fan? And that's why I kind of saddled you with a little bit of it, you know, and I'm like, let's come up with something. And I think we've came up with a really good show and everything.
I don't think I scared them too much.
No. We could go on for hours. We could. And Peter, well, thank you for being here too. All right, guys, we'll see you next time on TFYLP. I'm not entirely sure next week will be live. We should try to, but I'm going to hold that one up in the air because I have like family reunions and stuff to go to, and it's going to be really busy next week. But thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.